But it is the time of the end of the year. And as the new year dawns, as 2019 is on that horizon, what is it that you're looking forward to in 2019? Now, if you kind of look through any news or scroll through your social media, there's a whole bunch of opinions and reports about what's on the horizon in 2019. Some you might see reports of higher house prices or that the fuel price of fuel's going up. On our horizon, we've got the joys of both a state and a federal election this coming year. You might be looking forward to the Rugby World Cup that is happening in 2019. And you also, like me, might be looking forward to the Cronulla Sharks winning the Premiership for the second time in 2019. Is that an opinion or a report? I'll leave that up to you. There are also some who are looking forward to the Sydney Swans playing the Gold Coast Suns in Lismore in 2019 as well. So that's another thing. And of course, there's another royal baby that we all get to look forward to in 2019. So there's a whole bunch of things that are already on the horizon for the new year. What is it that you're looking for forward to? What are some of the things that you're looking forward to? I'm going to do a quick kind of show of hands, run through a few things. If this is you, just throw your hand up. Anyone going to get their driver's license this year for the first time? No? What about finishing TAFE school university studies? What about starting one of those? Anyone starting at TAFE, starting at new school or starting a university degree? This year, there's lots of things to be looking forward to. Who's starting a new job? I'm not putting my hand up for that. Who might be retiring this year? Hey, that was a quick hand. That was a really quick hand. Looking forward to that. What about moving house? Anyone moving house this year? A couple of you. Anyone becoming a parent or grandparent this year? New, yes, Andrea, well done. There's lots and lots to look forward to as we wait for 2019 to unfold. And this morning we're going to have a look at a group of people who were looking forward to something new as well. And so if you do have your Bibles with you, I encourage you to open up to Acts chapter 1. We're going to have a look at this group of people who were looking forward to something new and what and how they went about that. So I'm just going to read for us the first 11 verses of Acts chapter 1, and then we're going to unpack that and a little bit as well. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." We have a group of people here looking forward to something new. And in verses 4 and 5 there, Jesus says to his followers, something new is going to happen in a few days. In a few days, something new is going to happen. Which, interestingly, sparks a question in verse 6 from Jesus' disciples. And this question that they ask Jesus, Lord, are you now at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? This question kind of communicates, it shows us that the understanding of the kingdom coming that Jesus had been talking about is still locked into that earthly kingdom of a nation of Israel. And you can imagine, I mean, the 3 odd years that Jesus spent with them talking about the kingdom of God. They've witnessed his crucifixion and his resurrection, and they've just, and as Luke records for us, he spends a period of 40 days and after his resurrection with them speaking about the kingdom of God. And here their perspective is still locked. They still don't get it. You can just imagine when this question pipes up, it's a bit of a rolling your eyes moment for Jesus. Like, oh, really? Really? Is that what you think? And Jesus responds to their questions. It's not for you to know the timing, but you will receive power and you will be my witnesses. He doesn't rebuke them. He doesn't throw his hands in the air and walk away and go, that's it, I'm done. You still don't get it. No, he responds to their question and seeks to redirect their attention. So here we have the apostles on looking forward to something new that Jesus has spoken to them about. That's the and interestingly, Jesus says, in a few days you'll receive power from the Holy Spirit and you're going to be my witnesses. And that's the extent, it seems, of the detail that Jesus gives them. I mean, just imagine that you didn't know the rest of the story, that you hadn't read the rest of the book of Acts. All Jesus says about this new thing that is coming, that is going to happen, is wait a bit in Jerusalem, and when the Holy Spirit turns up, you'll receive power and you'll be my witnesses. Right. Any questions? Well, Jesus didn't offer that because it probably would have been a bucket load. And then Jesus is taken up into heaven and they're left looking there up into the sky, just staring into the sky, waiting. But have a look at what happens next in verse 11 as they're standing there staring up at the sky. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? Some men asked them. Well, there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why they're just standing there looking up into the sky. There's a whole bunch of questions going on in their mind. Really, you know, in terms of the detail that Jesus has given them, there's not a lot to go on for this group of people, for these disciples. But ultimately what that question is saying, it's not kind of inquiring about, so what are you looking at? What are you standing here looking at? It's more of a, what are you doing? There's things that you need to be doing. There's things that you need to be preparing for. Why are you just standing here looking up into the sky? There are things to do to prepare as you wait. So as the story unfolds, they head back to Jerusalem, they gathered together, they prayed together, and they appointed Matthias to the specific apostolic ministry to be one who is sent as a witness. And so that was what they did as they waited and prepared for something new. They went back to Jerusalem, they gathered together and prayed and appointed Matthias as the 12th apostle, the 12th witness that would be sent out. So how do we prepare for something new? For those of you who will be moving this year, how do you prepare for moving? Well, there's a whole bunch of stuff to do. Think about how do we prepare for a new job? There might be a list of things that we need to be doing. I know when you prepare to become a parent, particularly for the first time, there's a whole bunch of things in that preparation, and then it all just, you know, is you're making it up as you go anyway. You do all these things to prepare, and then it just, you know, your best plans are not that useful. But imagine, you know, preparing for a wedding, for that life journey of marriage. Imagine if you just sat around and waited till the wedding day, before actually doing anything in terms of preparation. I don't know, maybe there are people that do that, but more often than not, there's a whole range of things to do in preparation for something like that. And when we have something that we're looking forward to, there are things that we have to do in preparation. I want to shift the focus a little bit from this question this morning now and talk about, as a church, what about us as a church? As the new year dawns, what are we looking forward to here in 2019? What do we hope God might do this year in and through us as a collective? Maybe that's not something that has been given a whole bunch of thought. As a new year comes, the opportunity to celebrate what has been and to look forward to what might be into the future is there, and it's there for us as a church. What do we hope God might do in this coming year, in and through us as a collective? Do we hope for the gospel to change lives? Do we look forward to our friends taking steps towards faith? Do we hope for the restoration of relationships, for new ministries to be birthed, for more baptisms like Assas, more baptisms, people making that declaration that Jesus is Lord? Do we want to see people going off to Bible college to prepare for ministry? What about people seeing more clearly their workplace as their place of ministry? There's a sense of called and sentness to their place of work. Churches being planted, disciples being multiplied. I mean, is this what we would love to see happen in 2019? Of course it is. Of course we would want to see that happening in and through us as a church. And as we've seen, if we have something that we're looking forward to, then there are things that we can do in preparation. So the question is, as we look forward to God working in new ways, what do we need to be doing as we wait? How do we prepare for that new thing on the horizon? I want to have a bit of a closer look at what the apostles and those gathered in Jerusalem did as they waited for what they were looking forward to. I think there's a couple of clues for us as we look forward to what God is going to be doing in 2019. And the first we can see there in verse 14 is that they prayed. I mean, what were they praying about? They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They joined together. This wasn't just opening a meeting in prayer to figure out what they were going to do. There was this sense of gathering together for that purpose, to spend time praying with one another. I mean, you just wonder what it was that they were thinking and talking about as they waited. What was the nature of their prayers? What were they praying about? A lot of it, I'd imagine, would be based on what Jesus had just told them, and they would be anticipating the Holy Spirit coming. The Holy Spirit, and we can say that the Holy Spirit has come, and we believe that we live with the Spirit. So what are we praying for? What are the things that shape our prayer life as we look forward to what God is going to be doing this year? If we're looking forward to the gospel changing people's lives, perhaps the question is, who are we praying for? I mean, who are you going to be praying for this week that God might meet them where they're at? They gathered together and they prayed. And then in verse 15, we read, "In those days Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. And he said, 'Brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in our ministry.'" But the one thing I want to focus in on is in verse 15 there, setting the scene. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120. This was something that they gathered together, all of them. This wasn't just the 12 that gathered together, or the 11 at that stage who gathered together. This was 120. This was they all gathered together, getting ready for God to act. It was this all-in preparation. This wasn't just something that was delegated to a small group of managers or leaders to kind of get them ready. This was an all-in preparation. And I've used this illustration before, but when you think about the credits of a movie, they just roll on and on and on and on and on. There's thousands of people that are involved in making 160 minutes of entertainment. How much more is required then for to see lives changed, to see people take steps towards faith, to see reconciliation, to see peace advocated for? How many more is required if it takes a couple of thousand people to create, couple of hours of entertainment? This is an all-in preparation. They're all gathered together. And we need to prepare and wait together, all of us, encouraging one another, sharing our hopes and our dreams for the year ahead with each other. It's an all-in preparation. This isn't something that's just delegated to a group of people to kind of get the preparation stuff ready. This is all in, all gathering together. And the other thing that we can see from what this group of people did as they prepared for something new is that they did what they could with what they knew. We read a little bit later that they then cast lots and appointed Matthias to replace Judas. They did, what they could with what they knew. There was 12 apostles that Jesus appointed, and so they figured, well, there needs to be 12 specifically set aside as witnesses to the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, who would to be sent to bear testimony and bear witness to that. And so they did what they could with what they knew. I mean, really, what they needed to be doing was to be practicing speeches for 3,000 people, to be going back over their Old Testament and to know how part of this new covenant the Gentiles would be included in the people of God. I mean, that's kind of the stuff that we see create most challenge for them. That's what they needed to really be preparing for. But Jesus didn't tell them about very directly about the Gentiles or which cities around the empire that they should go to first and plan churches. Jesus didn't give them that kind of blueprint of these are the things that you need to be doing. They were going to be witnesses. That's what Jesus told them. So they appointed a 12th apostle because Jesus appointed 12. So they figured there should be 12. And then it's interesting that even then, as the story of Acts unfolds, Matthias doesn't feature greatly in that story. But they did what they could with what they knew. So the question is, what do we need to be doing? What are we looking forward to in 2019 as individuals and as a church? What is it that we can do as we wait for God to act? Because imagine, as 2019 unfolds, the celebration when we hear more and more testimonies like Asaph's, when we see more and more people take the step of baptism, when we see people who we've been praying for years take a step towards faith in Jesus. Imagine the celebration at when we see two people who were at odds with each other, that there was this great divide of conflict, turn and seek to reconcile. Imagine the celebration when we see our community restored and to see peace and justice flow. I mean, these are the things that we're looking forward to. These are the things that we're anticipating this year. And these are the things that we ought to be preparing for. Because that's what we're waiting for. And so as this year draws to a close and we look to the horizon, to the new year, I ask again, what are you looking forward to? In your own life, what are the things on the horizon that you're looking forward to, and what are the things that you can be doing in preparation for that? But as a church, what are we looking forward to? What do we hope God might do in and through us? Now, God will do what He will do, no doubt, but as we've seen here in the first chapter of Acts, there are things for us to do in preparation. There are things for us to do to partner with God in what He is already doing all around us. And so as a statement of preparation and of looking forward to this coming year, I'm going to pray a prayer for, with, on behalf of us. And as a statement, I guess, of doing this together, being prepared together for what God might do, I'm going to ask if you're able to just to stand as I lead us in this prayer. So would you stand if you're able to and pray with me. We praise You, Creator, God of new beginnings, for You challenge us constantly to move beyond our past and call us into fresh possibilities for the future. Praise be to You, Lord of the impossible, for You never get discouraged and never cease hope. You always believe and strive for a happier, fairer, wiser world. We praise You, God of the covenant, for You make promises and You never break them, for You trust us to do good and love us when we fail, and You daily renew our confidence and our courage. God of unconditional love, help us to believe in ourselves as You believe in us. Help us to see our potential as You see it. Inspire us with the dreams of what You are going to be doing amongst us. Equip us in the ways we need to participate in all that You will do in and through us in 2019. In the name of the One who has made it possible for us to have new life that begins now, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour, we pray, Amen.